outstanding.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Elder Sitswalo.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, my elder. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I hope your day has been fine.
Very well. Well, the day has been good. Busy as usual, but God is good.
Fantastic. Great to hear. Well, my elder, this week, and by the way, I must again extend our appreciation for you allowing yourself to be used by God as a vessel this week. So those who are listening this week, the elder is going to be joining us at 15:30 in our Bible Corner, talking about the mark of the beast. And so today we're going to be doing the introductory, and then he is going to be with us for the rest of the week. And interpretation, many interpretations offer the mark of the beast vary among Christian denominations, and we all know that some see it as a literal mark that will be imposed in the future, while others view it symbolically, representing allegiance to secular or oppressive systems that oppose God. And so this week we're just going to be basically getting to the history as well as looking into the scripture and to discuss this rather difficult or controversial subject. Now, my elder, before we even get into the mark of the beast, let's begin by identifying, if it's possible, the beast, by studying its identifying marks. Where is this beast first mentioned, and how do I identify it?
Yes, that's a very good way to start, actually. Many people make mistakes with relation to the mark of the beast by not knowing what the beast is. So before we talk about the mark, at least we know what the beast is all about. In the book of Revelation, I know many people, when we mention Revelation, they get scared because of its symbols and whatever. But it's a book that interprets itself. So in Revelation, types of beasts mentioned here. But there's a specific beast that is mentioned that is a mark. And that beast is where we find in Revelation chapter 13. It's interesting. It's an interesting beast in Revelation chapter 13, from verse 1 to 10. And Revelation 13 is a continuation of other Bible prophecies that have discussed the same beast power. The same beast power is also called Antichrist in the book of 1 John. It's also called the man of sin in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So this beast power, the identifier marks of it, what we find out is the 13. And if we go there, like I mentioned, Revelation 13 is a book written in symbols, and the symbols are interpreted by the Bible itself. John says, "I stood upon the sand of the sea, saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns, ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." So here it's an identity of a beast. It's a beast that is mentioned here coming up out of the sea, having ten horns and all of this. And in Daniel 7, verse 17, we know that a beast represents a political power. Mm-hmm. The Bible interprets beast to represent political power. So obviously there's a political power rising here into dominance in the sea. Revelation 17:15 tells us represents multitudes of people. So it's rising up in a very populated area. So that is the first major identifying mark of this power. So obviously we're talking about a political power that was rising in a very populated area, according to Bible prophecy. And there's more detail given about this political power. The Bible mentions that it has the name of blasphemy, it's receiving worship. In verse 1 and verse 4, which clearly show that it's not just a political power, it's a religious political power that the Bible speaks about here. And the Bible also in verse 2 tells us that it gets its power to rule from the dragon. And the dragon is identified as pagan Rome. This is an empire that ruled even during the time of Christ. It was pagan Rome. That's what historians call it. And then a duration of time is given. In verse 5, it tells us that this beast power is going to reign for 42 months. And that time period has been understood by Protestants over a millennia of time to to be referring to 1,260 years of reigning. And then lastly, this power is going to be persecuting Christians, as mentioned in verse 7 of Revelation 13. So we have this five identifying marks in Revelation 13 that basically summarizes who the beast is. I mean, there's more.
Mm.
In the Bible itself, there's more than 81 identifying marks. So I just picked up the first five that are clearly stated in this text.
Yeah.
To help us know at least who this beast power is, and so that when we study the mark, we have an idea of what this is about.
Mm. Man, you know, I think it's got to be a difficult week for some who may not have studied the book or even had thought about the book. So we're definitely looking forward to just getting all of these things simplified, because some of them, you know, when you read through them, it seems like something out of a script of a movie. You know, the beasts here, I mean, you're now talking about 42 weeks and you're converting the 42 weeks to 1,260 days. Man, and it's a whole lot of complication. I don't know if we're going to have enough time this week to deal with all of these things, but I do know that you are going to do your best to make sure that we understand these things. So what can we look forward to in further discussions then this week? What can we, what should the listener prepare for as they come in to listen?
One thing I want to assure the listeners too is that I will basically be using the Bible itself to interpret itself.
Mm.
Sola Scriptura, the great Protestant principle, many of the issues that we've spoken about, identifying marks of the beast and who the beast is, we're going to be looking at what the central issue is around the mark of the beast. Is it like just the issue of buying or selling CBDC, so what is this about? And also, what are we to do to prepare ourselves? What is the thing to get, not the mark of the beast?
Mm-hmm.
What options do we have to escape this beast power and its mark?
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to assure you that I'm going to be quoting different types of Protestant reformers who started big movements in trying to get this. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you an array of scholarly material that has been verified over and over by the founders of the Lutheran Church, the Calvinists, the big Calvinistic movement, Methodist, and all of these religious leaders who reached the same conclusion that we're going to be sharing even today.
Well, quite interesting. You seem to be talking about, we got to be, I heard you saying we got to be preparing ourselves on how to prepare ourselves for the mark of the beast, etc. It sounds that this book is quite an ancient book, and yet you are still referring to this beast or mark of the beast into the future. I would have assumed that, I mean, we are in the year 2024. This is all in the past. And yet you seem to be suggesting in your language that it's in the future. So please just clarify that as we close off this introduction. Are we looking at future events? Are we looking at past events? And how do we know?
It's very clear from the text itself. The Bible has been written history. It is also prophecy. Prophecy, of course, speaks about things that have happened and things that are happening and things that will be happening until even the second, unto the second coming of Jesus. So when we look at this this power, we are looking at history, and that history will be repeated. That's why we need to go through it, so that we get a more full understanding of what the mark of the beast is. We need to get clarity as to what happened in the past, who did what, and so that we are clear on what this is all about. And I also need to mention here that of these five identifying marks that I mentioned, when many people studied them, they reached the same conclusion that I'm going to be sharing about who this power is. It's a political power. It's a religious political power. It ruled for 1,260 years. It persecuted Christians. So this is a well-known power. And we know that there are several Protestants who are themselves Catholic. For example, Martin Luther, who was in the prominent church at that particular time, a monk of the Augustinian order, who, after studying all these things, reached quite a strange conclusion. He even said it in his own words, "I can't believe what I reached, conclusions that I reached." He says, "I am of the conviction that the papacy is the seat of the real Antichrist." And this is a man who had gone to school to study Catholicism, and he reached that same conclusion. John Calvin said the same thing, the founder of the Calvinist, who was also a prominent Catholic. "I deny him to be vicar of Christ, he's an Antichrist." John Knox. John Wesley said Roman papacy is an enigmatical sentiment of sin in Antichrist and his Ten Kingdoms, page 110. So these major, major Protestant leaders reached the conclusion that this peace power is none other than ecclesiastical Rome, which is the papacy. And it's a rather strange thing. And I know when you first hear it, it sounds like so weird, so queer, like not so right. But the weight of evidence was so compelling to many of these Catholics who later on became Protestants because they saw that the text is clear, local evidence is clear on this particular issue. So that is what I would like to share for this afternoon.
Okay. No, that's good. Great to have you here on board. And thank you so much for joining us and giving us a teaser of what is it that we can look forward to. We do want to pray that we, you know, get understanding because, you know, as I listen to you, some of the concepts may not be very easy to understand. I can imagine how it might be on your side to try and explain these very complex, you know, concepts. But my elder, thank you so much for this afternoon for joining us, and I do pray that we connect again tomorrow at the same time and same place, as we are going to be delving much deeper into the subject. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and I encourage the listeners to continue studying this book, as we'll be delving much more deep into it. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.